Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From executive producer Jimmy Kimmel.
What's up, team? Just two people can't launch a brand. It takes a village.
We are MMD Hollywood.
Wowee.
Which stands for medical marijuana.
Due to restrictions, we can't tell you everything about our new reality series. But what we can say is the idea behind it is fully baked.
I don't know.
High hopes. Streaming 420 on Hulu.
Can you just keep talking?
Yes. Good. Joe has his headphones on. I'm not sure why. He's the only one that can hear us. Looks like a total idiot over there.
Oh, he always looks like an idiot. That's the whole point.
That's what we're doing here.
That's why we're here. We're all looking like idiots.
Are we back?
We're back because we had to do one more before we all die, guys.
Yep.
That's how it had to be. So
pandemic pod.
There's only one thing that could bring back the art of the take, and that, of course, is a global pandemic. That has wrecked the economy, killed thousands, but we are here to save the day, I think.
Most would say
we're here to save the day.
And I'm a little offended that people keep saying the podcast is dead. It's not dead. There's a pandemic going on.
We're just quarantining.
Yeah. I mean, look.
Social distancing.
Look.
We are 6 feet apart. I feel like we should
get actually
that.
All are.
We're definitely 6 feet apart.
6 feet apart. We all do come to work. The take is back.
For now. Made it. We're here. All right, listen. Welcome to the Art of the Take. And
who are you?
I'm Joe Giglia.
Yeah.
With Jack Fritz.
Yeah.
Jimbo McThirst.
Yep.
Jimbo and Spike McThirst. Eskin.
Of the Art of the Take.
We're all of the Art of the Take.
We've been doing
nothing for how many months now? What was the last Art of the Take? January?
February? What was it, Jack?
Had to be January.
January or February?
Yeah, January.
And our original plan was to start this when the Phillies came back, mm-hmm. because then Joe would be able to finish work at 6:30. Amazingly enough, Phillies never came back.
Nope.
We were 2 weeks away around that?
Well, the original plan was it was going to work perfectly because it was going to be March Madness, which Joe's off at 6.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Right into Philly season.
So we were a week away from consistent Art of the Takes.
Yep.
And it just all was taken away from us.
The fact is that we planned. You can't say we didn't plan.
There's a lot of people, I don't believe this, but there's a lot of people are saying that this virus was created by another country to, you know, as sort of like a war weapon, or it was created in a lab, or, you know, it escaped from a lab. I think the most likely story here is that this virus was created to stop created by Bill Simmons to stop what is the only real take podcast on the internet.
That's the most logical explanation of all this.
Yeah. I mean, it's what is the thing?
The hottest take.
No. I mean the thing where the most obvious answer is the right one is the
razor, Occam's razor.
Occam's razor. Yeah. So that's the most
obvious. I knew exactly what you were talking about. That's what Jack always talks about.
All right, well, let's start with this. And we have a lot to get to here on this Art of the Take. But
3 months worth.
We have to start with just what...
Do you think there's anybody listening to this for the first time?
If there is, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that have content to fill out.
It's true.
So, like, days to fill out. They need content. So...
Stumble upon a new podcast?
You know, just listen to the old one. If you listen to the old ones, you'll know what this one's for.
Yeah, how could we explain this now?
We can't. We're in too deep. Way too deep.
Takes in time of pandemic. What have we noticed over the past 3 months? Look, we haven't done one of these. Doesn't mean we're not looking at takes and seeing takes and having takes.
Well, I would say that a lot of the take topics right now have a lot higher, what's the word I'm looking for?
Seriousness?
Yeah. Mm. I mean, like, you know, there's...
It's not a joke.
Look, COVID-19 as I said, crushed the economy and killed thousands, but it has not done anything to takes. If anything, it's been a magnifier, I would say.
Yeah, it's not like people are taking this opportunity to be like, you know what? It's just sports.
No. In fact, they take
just
it
sports
all.
Opinions.
No.
I've noticed the takes without sports, they haven't really changed. We're not taking about games.
No.
But the takes are still there.
But I also haven't noticed like full day long meltdowns from a single take. Like sometimes Jillio put out something and it'll cause a day long meltdown. Spike will put out something about Jimmy Butler and a day long meltdown and a conversation about Spike and his, you know, all that stuff. Normal, totally normal behavior.
Yeah.
It hasn't been a full day long dissection of one person's take in a while.
I think one thing that at least on Twitter and there used to be times during the day that if you would tweet something, it would be a good time for it to like launch. You would notice, Jack, that sometimes I would release some of my best takes very early in the morning and they would be too early to get any traction and nothing would happen. But I think that the Jimmy Butler meltdown take was 11 in the morning.
Yeah, can't get to 11.
No. And there's not really a prime time for the internet anymore.
Right.
Like everyone's always on.
Like there's not a drive time anymore.
No.
In radio.
No. Have you noticed from a thirst perspective, have you noticed that there's a good time to...
I've actually noticed I've done my best thirst when you're definitely asleep and you're definitely asleep. Well, man, you're weird. I don't know. You're like always awake.
You're hiding from us, even though we just see when we wake up.
Yeah.
But if we won't notice.
Prime thirst hour for me is around like 10:30 when I feel like it. Because I haven't really been tweeting as much. Like there's nothing to tweet about.
No.
And I've just been like... I'll stand on a random Phillies thought at like 10:30 at night. And I know Spike's asleep, which is great because I can't get the stupid, freaking, fucking stupid
Elliot
water
that
gift
out. Yeah,
I know.
The thirst gift.
I know.
Yeah. What was the one this morning that got it? Last
Dak
night.
Prescott.
Oh, Dak one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, that was thirst.
Only dumb people. I feel like it hit a certain amount of people.
Yeah.
I mean, Jack Orlovsky over here.
yeah.
I was thinking of Jack. I sent a note to the entire staff about Twitter like last week. And one of the lines made me think of Jack. Something that like likes and retweets were currency that you can't use anywhere.
It made me think of the podcast. Like it became real again.
Yeah.
Like we talk about it all the time. How do we think the take world is faring without us? Because we haven't been there, you know, to grade takes, to talk about takes. It's just people have been on their own now for months without any guidance from this podcast.
Yeah, I think it's missing us, honestly. People bring up the podcast a lot, especially a certain night host who's working in the number one market in the entire country seems to ask about it almost every day.
And now he's getting like, you know, bitter about it.
Yeah.
I mean, landed on his feet, which is a good thing.
Yeah. Look, I think we all love doing this podcast.
Yeah.
The one thing about the podcast is it is tougher for us to do it when we're not in the same room. A lot of podcasts, you can be in different rooms. There's something about this pod because so many of the funny things are things that we can't say that if we're not looking at each other, I'm not sure it would have the same effect.
Well, we tried this before.
Right.
Well, it didn't turn out well.
The elephant in the room is that Joe Giglio has never had to work a day in his life in this radio business and doesn't know how to operate anything from his house.
That is not a bad point.
It's also not an elephant. You bring it up in every other episode.
Yes. And yeah, that is a good point. You do bring it up every other episode. The last thing before we get going is the last podcast we did, there was a tweet that we could not read.
That was the most asked about thing.
Wait a second. Was that about what's going on?
Yeah.
Correct.
And that was so long ago.
And it was mid-January.
Oh, I remember now.
Yes.
She was an early adapter.
Yeah. Let's just, so if you go back to the last episode, there was a tweet that Jack put in the rundown that was so disturbing, we could not read it, but we all laughed about it. Because it seemed so ridiculous.
It seemed crazy.
I'll just say what it was. Just to give context, there was a tweet that responded to a CNN tweet, I think, about a plane coming over here that had a person on it that had tested positive for COVID-19 or something.
That was kind of the idea.
Yeah, that was the idea of it. And this was mid-January. And this person responded, "Shoot that plane down now. The virus is spreading faster than we can do anything about." Like, it was obviously, look, we were laughing. Obviously, nobody wants to shoot any planes down. No. But it is crazy that tweet, we all thought she was insane, and she was obviously insane.
Well, yes.
But that, she that did know changed. Something about the virus.
Her fear was warranted.
Yes.
What she was asking for was not. But the fear was now totally understandable.
It's spreading fast.
It is. Yeah, that's not a novel thought that it is spreading quickly. You see all the blinking lights in here? We're in this really neat studio, but
in the other in the producer studio, the one light kind of like wants to show. Just goes into like a strobe light, and I'm just standing there like just getting.
So you're used to this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, not really, but yeah, it's fine.
So we had a tweet here. This was actually yesterday, I think. Yeah, yeah. Or today. Yesterday. So someone RJ tweeted us that he said, "I know the pod and Twitter are probably dead," which that bothered me. But I just got a pop up saying that the retweet numbers now counts retweets with comments. Don't know what that does to the TT Plus system or any other take aggregate system. So they've changed that.
Well, it makes it the quote tweet.
Right.
Quote
so you can see. You can finally see quote tweets.
So the problem is, what does it count it as? It counts it as a retweet.
Well, I guess you got to look at a tweet and then count, right? If you have four quote tweets that are there and you have four retweets, like when you look at
it's
it from...
It's counting as a retweet.
It's counting it just simply as a retweet.
But is it maybe counting it as a comment and a retweet?
Well, it's weird. It says retweet with comment.
Right. So maybe all the things are counted now.
Yeah.
I think they need to get back to TTT Plus and see how that affects the system. Or maybe it just makes it more accurate because everything's counted. Because part of our problem was when you really get roasted, there's a lot of quote tweets, and it wasn't counting them as responses. If this is counting them as responses, then maybe TTT Plus is just more accurate.
Well, can we factor in into the TTT Plus formula a quote tweet that says, "Imagine thinking this"?
Those don't count. Though I will say, yeah, if you got a good one, you're going to get a lot of quote tweets.
Yeah.
People want to show everyone what they think.
Yeah, that you're an asshole.
So I was looking back through the last few months.
By the way, the pod and the Twitter are not dead.
They're not dead.
There's a crisis going on. Have a little respect for God's sake.
So I was looking back through the last few months trying to figure out like what kind of fell by the wayside in the middle of a pandemic. And I remembered Spike versus JJ Redick.
Oh, that did sort of set off a...
That might be the last big one.
Oh, yeah, that was the last day-long conversation about Spike.
And I got threats, and people told me they were never going to listen to the podcast again.
JJ Redick?
Because of JJ Redick, yeah. I mean, it was a pretty... I don't even think the tweet was that bad.
So this is what we have here. Like JJ Redick left us in the cold, just like he left a person locked in a cage in a car without doing anything. Many loose balls go right out of bounds. Any big shot from going through the hoop. His ban of social media, which happened only to avoid criticism. And you followed that up with also can't dunk, draft bust, a Brian Colangelo supporter.
I mean, people with a sense of humor definitely got it, but if they don't know you and they saw this, they'd say, really? You went there with the person locked in a cage in a car?
Well, it happened.
I know it happened.
And do you know what else he did? This all happened because the can't dunk draft bust thing. Look, anybody listening to this knows why it happened. I don't even know if I should. There was an exchange with JJ Redick because a troll got him by saying that he was a draft bust that probably couldn't even dunk. And I retweeted it, and then JJ Redick started tweeting at me. But we found out as well, in addition to the cage in a car thing, which actually did happen, and the China racist thing, which also happened. But in 2007, there was a story in Deadspin that was never denied by him that he made a girl who he was dating sign a contract that she would get an abortion and that he would pretend to date her for 1 year afterwards if she did. All I would say is that anyone listening, just Google the words JJ Redick abortion contract. It actually happened.
That's probably not going to end up the title of this episode.
No.
He's
but
a
that's
shit
the
bag.
Best. That's the best thing we have so far.
That can be the title.
Yeah.
He's a shitbag.
He's a shitbag.
Before we go any further, including I did some counting this morning, and it sounds like our next podcast is going to have Jack all by himself for a long, long time.
Yeah. What the fuck, man?
What?
It's time.
I mean, this happened before this.
Yeah, I get it. You guys don't work. I understand. Some of us around here have jobs to do, and I'm just saying.
And this is part of your job.
You promised.
I don't think it is.
You have to do it.
I never promised. I was forced into doing it.
We're going to go back and find that episode.
You said
you would do it.
You said you would do it.
If it happens on the podcast, it's real.
I can barely read.
Well, that's going to be a tough podcast.
Yeah. I had to do it. Speaking of not being able to read, we had to do these PSAs last week.
Oh, yeah.
One take.
Oh, really?
One take.
I haven't heard it yet.
It was two sentences.
No one's going to hear it.
Yeah. We might not ever air it. But I just wanted to give the higher ups the option of everyone. They asked me for for everybody. So I got them everybody.
So I thought we should check in on Bill Simmons' Stolen Podcast. Because I just wanted to see like what they've been churning out. Is it still going? Well, they haven't done one since the pandemic started.
At least not
on the Ringer website where they list all the episodes.
We have.
Well, I've noticed that, like, the Hottest Take. Like, I've seen so many people on Twitter saying it's like their best podcast.
And There's no way.
But it makes me mad every time I see anyone tweet about how great it is, because like it's a clear ripoff.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Well, I mean, this is some of their recent episodes. Okay. Chris Ryan checking in with strong opinions on hotels.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Tyler Parker cracks open his views on suds in cinema.
Well, Tyler Parker is a friend of the podcast.
He is. Yeah, I like Tyler. And Bill Simmons and Adam Carolla take aim at the biggest problem with field goals.
Wow.
Sounds riveting.
Wow.
Great.
Yeah. So it's like riveting content.
And it's like a 10-minute podcast, right? It's short. I mean, we've already been going for 14 minutes.
We technically haven't even started the podcast.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke. Okay, so.
Yeah, it's a joke.
Jack, here, you have some work to do. We have 414 reviews on Apple Podcasts, and we have 602 Reddit users currently.
People are still on that Reddit?
More than I thought, yeah.
Oh, really?
It's its own world now.
They're still posting today.
Oh, really?
We haven't done a podcast in months.
So we started an actual thing then.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's terrifying. I'm very proud of.
Well, what we said was when we got 1,000 total Reddit users and
reviews.
Reddit users and 5 or 1 star ratings on Apple Podcasts, Jack would read all the takes in the Reddit and in the subreddit, which is our Art of the Take, and the Apple Podcast.
1,016 rating. We're up to now.
Okay. So
our next podcast is a Jack show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you ready?
it's going to be like 10 hours.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
I thought about it. Try to not think about it.
Let's go to let's grade the takes here. So we have the NFL. This one was from our Apple Podcast reviews. Sly Rye, who's, I'd say one of our, we hear from Sly Rye a lot.
Yeah, really? he loves it.
Okay. NFL draft is a subject. The NFL draft is an important moment for takes because it forces football fans, who are the thirstiest of all sports fans on average, to have an opinion. When their team selects a player they decide they do not like, they absolutely lose their minds. Then, because these sickos can only live in thirst, they talk themselves into selecting a backup quarterback back in the second round being genius. Please seek mental help.
Wow. All this just to attack Bartrid.
Well, not just all of you. I mean, yeah, it's really Bartrid and
I do
like
love
the
please seek mental help at the end.
Now, can I ask, do we dock him for not saying Eagles, or does he not have to say Eagles?
He doesn't have to say Eagles.
Right? Mm. Okay.
Well, I think everyone in Philadelphia knows.
Yeah.
It's like being a back quarterback
in the
second round.
This pretty much is the Eagles fan, like, constitution for drafting.
I hate this. 5 minutes later, I get it.
Yeah. I'm usually a talk myself into a move guy. Even I can't talk myself into it.
Because you don't want to admit the reason behind
why
the
they did it.
No.
Yeah.
Well, it's because they want to run a 2-quarterback system with 2 quarterbacks in the
revolutionizing
field.
Revolutionizing the NFL.
They're revolutionizing the game. That's it.
To the subreddit. This one's from Cinnamon Prince. Talented quarterbacks versus system quarterbacks. A talented quarterback can get you a championship, but a system quarterback can get you a dynasty. Rodgers, Manning, Marino, Young, talented quarterbacks, 4 Super Bowls. Brady, Montana, Bradshaw, Aikman, system quarterbacks, 17 Super Bowls. There are 10 other guys in the field. Don't be a hero. Just keep it moving, Chief. I like to win, not thirst over highlights.
Ah, we know why you picked this one.
It's a good take.
Well,
I mean,
this is one of the best takes we've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Of course I can. This is what we do.
This is the podcast.
Okay. So the first thing is, it's very interesting because like it seems factual, right? Because you think of the most talented quarterback in the NFL over the last 10 years is Aaron Rodgers, and he's only won one, right?
Yes.
You watch him to your eyes. And the Brady system quarterback thing is what I said a lot, but it does seem like it works. Then what he does is the next layer of this is calling Brady, Montana, Aikman, and Bradshaw system quarterbacks, which is also amazing because you're calling Tom Brady a system quarterback. Then there's don't be a hero, keep it moving, Chief. This is a really excellent take.
I like to win, not thirst over highlights. Like, he just wants to win. He doesn't care about the fun little things like the highlights.
Well, that's the ultimate. I mean, it's the basis of Wentz falls.
Exactly.
Wentz makes the throw to Miles Sanders in the corner of the end zone that, like, no one can make in the league. But
Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl.
Right. There's no proof he can win. So it's a really interesting take.
Yeah, I sort of disagree about part of what you said there.
No, what did you disagree with?
Just that, we'll just go on to the next thing.
Well, the next one, also from the subreddit, Jack Fritz is the reason the Cowboys landed CeeDee Lamb.
What?
He hosted an emergency counterpoint podcast to, quote, save the season, which it clearly did, but also dropped the Eagles in the draft order. Now, when I open my Art of the Take podcast feed, I just see total disgrace fitting.
That's fair. I mean, I will accept the blame. I was a CeeDee Lamb guy. I wish they trade up the guy.
And if you didn't do that podcast, maybe they lose that.
Well, maybe if Howie wasn't really just Danny Ainge, we would be fine.
We were on that a while ago.
Howie Ainge originated on this podcast, I'm pretty sure.
Did it?
I think so. And then people use that now.
But weren't you a huge Howie guy at one point?
I was, but then I came up with Howie Ainge.
Oh, which is better than thinking. Right.
Yeah, it's way better. You can rip on a guy, it's way better than being
way
positive.
More fun. All right, siding with the players' union means you don't care about the sport. Players ruin their respective sports. Just look at how bad the player-ran NBA is. Athletes are replaceable, owners or not. If you care at all about sports in general, then you should always be on the owner's side during any labor dispute.
Well, this would get...
Oh, my God. This guy would have to log off Twitter.
This would be crazy on Twitter.
Yeah, I almost want him to tweet it. If this guy tweets it, I'll retweet it. you know how I feel about MLB, or not MLB, but like pro sports labor thirst on Twitter.
Oh, it's out of control.
Yeah, like making pretend that they're real. I mean, they're really in a union, but they're not like, they make millions and millions and millions of dollars.
The minimum in baseball is $500,000.
Yeah, they almost care more about those people than like regular, like union people, electricians,
people that need money.
Yeah.
Well, like the thing that's so annoying, you know, when a player signs like a shit contract, like where it's a lot of money and you're like, you can't be furious at the teams anymore for signing because everyone's just too happy for the guy to get paid.
Oh, right.
Like
right,
fucking Arrieta. Everyone's like, well, thank God he got $25 million. No, it's messing my team up.
Can't use it on real players.
Right. It's like, what are we doing here? It's the most frustrating thing, I think. Well, there's a lot of frustrating things about Twitter, but like not being able to rip a team for a contract because the player is like getting paid now is one, like the JT Realmuto, when it goes to the court.
Arbitration.
Like that whole thing, like just pay him all the money. It's like, well, no, that's not how this works.
Right, that hurts the team. That right. Less money
I don't
to
think
spend.
They go to court.
I don't think they go to a hearing.
Okay.
Which hearings only happen in the courts, right?
No. Well, where else could it be?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think they just meet in a room.
It could be this room?
Yeah, yeah, I think so.
In my head, it's in a courtroom.
Is a judge with a powdered wig?
Yeah. Look, I love the NBA, but there is certainly a point to be made that players forcing themselves all over the place has made for a worse product.
Of course it has.
Yeah, because players are moving around all the time. Yeah, absolutely.
So our next one, as we go to Twitter here.
This would get roasted on
Twitter. When I looked at the subreddit, the first comment was, this made me really mad. And I was like, well, then we have to talk about it. So our next one, has Sixers Adam been part of this podcast before?
Have we mentioned Sixers Adam?
Are we going to find him a role in this podcast?
What's that?
Are we going to find him a role in this podcast?
Well, look, man. Since the NBA, look, I've always known Sixers Adam now works for Wright's Ricky Sanchez.
Yes,
and has always been an Art of the Take fan. But since the NBA has gone away, since he hasn't had basketball to take
food
on,
takes.
His takes are they make everyone mad.
I mean, he gets meltdowns in his mentions over macaroni and cheese.
Yeah, but what I'm worried about is, like, I feel like too many people are in on the bit.
Oh, you think?
That he doesn't like food?
Yeah, it's like, oh, we get it, dude. You think food's trash. How about you mix it up a little bit?
So you want some other takes?
Yeah.
Like about shows or whatever.
You know, just
politics.
Show you have a pulse.
I don't need, we don't need a politics takes from Adam. That is not a negative thing about whatever his politics may be. I don't know that we need to send him into that world.
He's too young.
Yeah.
Maybe the mac and cheese is enough.
Yeah. I mean, food.
This sounds right for an 8-year-old.
Cartoons, maybe toys, whatever the fuck he likes playing with.
Pokemon.
Yeah.
So this one was from April 29th. Macaroni and cheese seems like the dumbest combination of food you could possibly come up with. I'll pass on that one.
I love the I'll pass on that one.
So he doesn't like food. I texted him over the weekend and I said, I think I need a bonus post from you for Rice Ricky Sanchez. I want you to rank your top 50 foods.
And does he even have 50?
Well, he said, but I don't like food. And I was like, but that's why you need to rank the top 50. So I'm dying for him to do that. I'll pass on that one. There's a great ending that we haven't seen before.
Oh, I love it.
Ashley Reese, I don't know who this person is, but this was tagged a bunch of times, at Art of the Take.
Whoa, it has 385,000 likes.
That's a lot.
Adults who are picky eaters are massive turnoffs. This is all one sentence, by the way. Don't at me, expand your palate, bitch. 3 exclamation points. Eat a vegetable, you're 28.
Oh my God.
You know who eats like children are the Jack Show, the hosts of Jack
all
Show.
All three or...
Ike eats like a child.
Red meat, a lot of red meat.
Yeah, one of my favorite Ike moments with food was I brought in those tamales a few weeks ago, and I sent a note out. I was like, hey, I ordered these tamales. They're in the fridge if you want one. Don't worry, they're vegan. They're just vegetables. They have squash and cornmeal and carrots or whatever, or beets. And he goes, oh, you got the tamales? I'm like, yeah. He's like, nah, that's your vegan shit in there. And I'm like, well, Ike, it doesn't have anything weird in it. It's just vegetables.
There's just no meat.
Yeah. He's like, nah, I don't want your vegan shit. And I'm like, but there's nothing. Like, I couldn't. We were having two separate conversations. Yeah.
So, about the tamales, and, you know, we're all about honesty on this show.
Oh, you don't know how to eat one. Did you try to eat a husk?
No, I did. I thought you brought in, like, the little pepper things.
Like the sauce?
Like, I thought tamales were, like, kind of in the... I thought they were in the
like a popper,
jalapeno.
I thought tamales and jalapenos were like. I thought they were both peppers, and I thought a tamale was a pepper. And I was like, why is he bringing in peppers for me to eat?
No, I wasn't bringing in a pepper.
How did you figure out you were wrong?
Yeah,
is this like your first way of asking us what was the truth?
No, I was like, oh, well, I'm not eating that. I'm going to bring in my own lunch.
So this is what the After Show does. Afraid of new things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, 100%.
Especially when you don't know what it is.
Yeah. That's why we're in the trust tree here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to some WIP scorchers here. This one from Joe DeCamera, right after the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts. The narrative that Howie failed Wentz with this draft is absurd. The team's name is the Philadelphia Eagles, not the Philadelphia Wentzes. Since drafting Wentz, the Birds have played 6 playoff games. Wentz has played in less than one quarter of one of those games. # backup quarterbacks are important. Every DeCamera tweet I hear in his voice.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
He went from not tweeting at all, basically, to somehow being the only person who can tweet in his voice exclusively.
And scorchers.
Oh, yes. Angelo, too, though.
Always scorchers. Oh, yeah. Yes, Angelo, too.
And Merrill.
Scorchers. Like, Joes are scorchers. Yeah. I'm sure this was in his show. He said this exactly.
Yeah.
The not the Philadelphia Wentz's thing was...
Yeah.
It was incredible.
It's great.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure this is his best take of the whole time. Like, do you remember he listed all the years they needed back a quarterback?
Oh,
it was
yeah.
like 25 of the last 28 years?
Yeah. He was hammering it home. Like, this is what happens.
Yep.
He was... I could just envision him at his house... And I'm sure this is how most of our hosts were. Like, I'm sure you were. But when the Eagles drafted Jalen Hurts, just started cackling.
Well, I came back. I don't know if I told the story. I was walking my dog when it happened. And I came back and looked at my phone. And all I had were like a lineup of text messages of people I work with that was just like, OMG, can't believe that. Oh my God. And I was like, what happened? I thought something bad happened.
You thought it was just going to be a simple second round pick.
Yeah.
You know?
And I looked at it and I go, Eagles took a quarterback in the second
yeah.
round. And then I saw Joe's tweet and I spent the next maybe day and a half like just texting him and like trying to rile him up even more. Like I wanted him on high when this happened. So he didn't disappoint.
And I would imagine with DeCamera, those years he listed with the backup quarterbacks, he didn't have to look them up to remember.
No, he knew them.
He knew them and the game they played and how bad the backup was.
Yeah, because he gets scarred by all of them.
Yes. Our next one is from Spike. If you were under 36, put your phone down and learn something for once. I missed this one originally.
So this happened. This was for a specific reason. The time matters. It was the first episode of
The Last Dance.
And I saw... Everyone who was getting ready to watch it were like tweeting and stuff, like all the kids. And I was just like, could you pay attention to one fucking thing without announcing to everyone what you, there's anyone who watches while tweeting as much as those kids tweet knows that you can't actually pay the right amount of attention if you're tweeting as much as you're tweeting.
I can't absorb it.
No, and it jumps around from year to year.
Yeah.
Just if anyone tweeted their way through it, any fucking moron millennial who never watched Michael Jordan, just if I understand that there's no sports and you got to get the tweets off when something, when everybody's watching something. But what I would recommend that you do is with all of your free time that you have, that you usually spend fucking on TikTok or whatever the fuck you do, go and rewatch this with your phone down. You can speed through all the commercials. You can maybe even if you want to, you can schedule tweets on TweetDeck later so you don't miss anything while, you know, so you're still getting tweets off during it. I would just like, I would like for them to watch it because it's only those morons who still think that LeBron is better than Michael Jordan. It's only anybody who has not paid attention.
Do you think your tweet worked? You think people have watched this the right way?
They got very angry.
Well, can I give a response from a millennial to what you just said?
No.
How about if you're over the age of 42, mm-hmm. you don't use the letter U in a tweet? Why don't you use your big words there?
No. It rings hollow from you. Imagine thinking that. And by the way, not just millennials, Gen Z.
Oh! They're the real ones,
can
by the
I
way.
Tell you a funny story? Well, then we'll get back to it. Do you remember when the boomer thing started and there was one kid on Twitter that was calling me boomer?
Yeah.
And I was like, no, he sent me an email 3 days ago. I've had him muted for easily a year. And he sent he was asking a Sixers question because I said you could send in Sixers questions. And he was like, I think you probably have me muted. He was like, I know what boomers are. I know it's like, you're not actually a boomer. Yada, 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 yada. Anyway, I'm sorry if it made you mad. I didn't want it to make you mad. And I wrote like a really long response about why it made me mad. And I went and I was like, what's your tweet? What's your Twitter? And I went and I unmuted him and we're friends again, me and that guy.
What a nice story.
He's an art of the take guy, you know?
Well, I mean, to be fair, to be on his side a little bit, you were very sensitive about the boomer thing.
Yeah, it was a couple episodes.
It was very easy to get under your skin with it.
The reason it was, as I told him, is because it feeds into the world in which when we see an opinion we don't like, without even thinking about it, you just discredit it for some reason. Anyway, but me and the
kid
are
friends.
How long
was the response back you sent?
He actually thanked. It was probably 800 words.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
I always think it's interesting when people realize they are muted. How often does someone have to try to interact with you and you never to pay attention for them to realize, oh, he definitely muted me?
There are some that never know.
No, but like if someone knows, it means they continue to yell into the wind and they don't get a response.
Even they just need to. They need it. They need to get it off their chest. Then it wins for everybody. The muter doesn't have to deal with it and the mutee gets it off their chest.
Yeah.
All right.
Anyway.
Of all of the takes and tweets over the past few months, this one, I scrolled through the Art of the Take mentions to find some good ones. But this one, it was so far ago that I didn't see it right away, but
one of those tweets where you remember where you were.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was like, I need to find this to put it in. So this was Angelo Cataldi on April 16th. Mike Trout thinks it's too much to ask baseball players to start the season under quarantine. He's making $36 million a season, but he only sees red flags about a plan to return. Trout is nothing more than a pampered, spoiled brat. It's time to unmask the Millville fraud.
He wrote the last line like he was writing a newspaper column.
Yes. Yeah.
He threw it back to the 80s and said, listen, I used to be a Pulitzer Prize winner, and I'm going to show you why.
Roasted him, the Millville fraud.
People are still mad about this. I was listening the other morning, and a guy called in out of nowhere. He's like, you just got to lay off Mike Trout.
Yeah, he probably hasn't talked about him in weeks.
Well, the best thing was, the next morning, a guy called in from Millville, and he was like, I don't even like Mike Trout. Like, he ruined the town of Millville. It's not even a big town.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's right. He's a fraud.
The Millville fraud.
The Millville fraud. He turned his back on the city. So you said this was the WIP, portion of the podcast. Like, where are my tweets? And where's your own tweet?
Well, I don't usually put my own in here unless it just gets a...
Well, you don't have any takes.
I've gotten added a couple of times in the other take. I just say, just throw me a little bone.
Okay, well, give me a great take of yours over the last couple of
Yeah, they're too...
Oh, you know what? Actually, I'm wrong. You're right. My favorite take from Jack is when he wonders how many home runs Bryce Harper would have right now.
You know, so it's a thinking man.
No, it's him trying to get another thing going.
He didn't make Jack didn't have the thirstiest take of the last few months, but I had two of the Bryce Harper ones screenshotted. They were my first thought, and then I was like, no, there's something better than that.
Those tweets are despicable.
I know.
They are
and then
despicable.
You get people respond like 25, 26.
No. Yeah.
No one's saying Leo 9.
I know. Yeah, I don't care. I really don't. I honestly don't care.
All right. I don't know what these next two or three tweets are. I don't even know if I have them in the right order. I don't even know if it matters. So this is at @miss_fishscale. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read them as I put them, but I don't think the order matters. A guy ordering dessert on a date is a red flag for me. That's a female thing to do. What does the FR mean?
For real.
For real. For real.
Yeah.
Then she tweeted, it's a red flag, .. for me.
Oh, because she was getting roasted.
But yeah. This I mean, actually, look at the last one might be the first one, okay. Now that I put it all back together.
Look at the...
Oh, I know.
The ratio is fantastic.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
So then the other one, this might be the first one. If a guy is on a date with a woman, the woman should be the only one asking for appetizers and dessert. Men eat meals. Like, seriously. You can just taste some of whatever I ordered.
This is incredible.
The whole thing.
This is one of those tweets. I just want to know what it was.
Like, what
I
happened?
I want to be in the restaurant. Like, do you think she's sitting there?
But
like,
isn't this your thing? Don't you agree with her? You used to be the. You said like, you don't
it's
get dessert. Like, at
yeah, because I don't get how people order dessert at restaurants.
Because it's good.
I know it's good, but you're not there for the place's dessert. And also, if you eat a full meal, you shouldn't need dessert. But I get you two that only eat vegetables are like, yeah, sure, give me dessert.
Well, honestly, being vegan has ruined dessert at most restaurants for me.
It's hard to find those.
Yeah, but I would say that what I like, even when I'm home, after I eat a meal, I just want something sweet to end it on.
Cookie?
Yeah, I don't want like whatever I ate to be the last thing I ate.
I agree with you. It's just, it also costs extra, you know?
Well.
Desserts are, you know, it's an extra $7 to a bill. I don't need that.
Maybe skip out on one of those $7 IPAs you drink and get a sundae or something.
I can.
Yeah.
I can. I realized today that beer's too good.
It's too today good. You realized it?
Yeah, well, you know.
Is your dad's brewery open?
It's only open, Friday, Saturday, Sunday from 3 to 6, and it's only growler exchange stuff.
Oh, so no cans?
No, we don't have cans yet.
Okay. Yeah. Maybe I'll go get a growler from, what is it, Four Fingers?
Four Fingers Brewing.
Four Fingers Brewery. There we go. Give them a plug.
RR Reno, @RR_Reno. By the way, World War II vets did not wear masks. They're men, not cowards. Masks equals enforce cowardice.
Yeah.
You see the ratio here on this one?
Wow, 7,000 responses and 900.
I don't know who R. Reno is. Do we know who he is?
No, I think he's just a guy. That okay.
These kind of tweets are always so stupid. It's like, I get it. But at the same time, like if they were in today's society, they'd be wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Also, they weren't wearing a mask because it wasn't a pandemic.
Yeah.
Well, like, and also,
it wasn't a virus. Also, it was a war.
Also, they were probably, you know, not as smart as today's stuff.
Yeah, I mean, to say that we did something in the past, there's a lot of things we did in the past that we weren't currently do.
It's the most annoying tweets at this time of the people being like, well, you know, back in the day, they wouldn't have worn masks.
We didn't even know smoking was bad for us or dude, fettuccine like, Alfredo.
Soda's fine for
yeah,
you.
Yeah. Come on.
So our last two here before we get to the thirstiest take and then our top takesman here.
Yeah.
So our buddy Gary Cobb, who we all know here, I don't know where this all came from. Now, can we think back to what G. Cobb's kind of Twitter persona was before the virus?
Just football.
That's what I was thinking. Just Eagles.
Sports.
Just some football takes.
Getting Elliott's career started.
Was it? Oh, did he?
GCobb.com.
GCobb.com.
Yeah, back in 2012.
He was a linebacker for the Eagles and Cowboys. He was a host on WIP for years. Now he has his own website.
TV. He was on TV.
TV.
So
at some point he just snapped.
And it's been relentless. I mean, we could have done the whole podcast on just G. Cobb takes. I highlighted these two. Listening to Dr. Fauci is like hiring Chip Kelly again. Fauci said 2.2 million U.S. citizens would die. Now we have 30 million out of work. Alcoholism rising, drug addiction rising, domestic violence rising. Let people go back to work and feed their families. Hashtag no fear. Hashtag back to work America, which have accompanied every one of his tweets, those two hashtags,
yeah,
for weeks now.
The no fear one is kind of wild. I mean, I can understand you want people to go back to work. Absolutely. The no fear one is pretty wild. He also had like a hashtag coronavirus isn't that bad tweet or something at some point. Yeah.
So he doubled down with the one I had here with this other one. Every generation before us has faced tremendous risks, plagues, civil war, world wars, and slavery. They fought for the free and prosperous USA we now live in. Are we going to pass anything on to our kids and grandkids or just be scared? Are we gutless? Hashtag back to work, America. Hashtag no fear here.
The fear part of it is wild. I don't even know what to say.
Are we gutless?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I don't know that bravery is really part of the equation.
Just being smart.
Yeah.
Just trying to be smart.
Just trying to, you know, everybody's trying their best. Everybody's a little bit scared. I guess G-Cob's not scared.
I mean, my fingers are cracked over here from
all the...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It stinks. It hurts.
It's terrible. You got to get that.
Does it really work?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
There's a hand cream. It comes in a little like lime green canister. It's like $12 for two of them on Amazon. O'Keefe's.
Mm.
O'Keefe's Working Hands. I think it's called the official
hand lotion of the Art of the Tech.
The
only.
I'll tell you, the first time you use it, if you have the dry hands, it will burn a little bit. But then every time after that, it'll feel better. I mean, my knuckles were almost bleeding at one point.
It's been a lot of hand washing.
Yeah.
Hashtag no fear here.
No fear here.
All right. Thirstiest take of the last few months. Now, I thought about a lot of Jack tweets here and the Bryce Harper stuff.
No, you didn't.
I did. I haven't screenshotted, but I feel like when you don't have a podcast for a while, we have to go back to the person this part of the podcast is named after. It's James Seltzer.
Mm-hmm.
This was Seltzer's tweet the night the Eagles schedule came out. Every time the Eagles have won the Super Bowl, they started the season in Washington.
Yeah, I saw this, and at the second I saw it, I was like, I want to do a podcast right now.
Even I need him to change his avatar because I feel like when I look at his picture, I know he knows that he's being thirsty.
Yeah.
Like he's loving the likes is what
And all he says on the air is, you know, go birds. I have a 17-month-old.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Same routine over and over again.
Yeah. Oh, great. You had sex.
Our takesman of the, I feel like it should be takesman of the spring.
Yeah.
Winter and spring.
Later.
Top three takesman?
Yeah. I mean, I think it has to be. I think it's pretty obvious who ends up being number one, to me at least. Number three is Angelo Cataldi, who, without a sport for 10 weeks, has found a way to every morning not just have a take, but a scorcher where he lays it on the line.
As if nothing changed.
Yep. As if nothing at all changed. One person is now out and a person is now in. I'm going to put Miss Fishscale in there at number two for the ordering dessert on is a red flag for me. That's a female thing to do. And number one, look, say what you will, but COVID-19 is the number one takesman of the last few months.
Yeah, it's had people talking more than any other take.
Yep.
Splitting the audience.
Yep.
Number three for me is a guy who's landed on his feet up in New York, and that's Chris Carlin.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Wow. He has landed on his feet. Wow.
This podcast is for him.
Yep.
Number two is Miss Fishgale.
Yep.
Number one is Michael Jordan. He was giving takes back in the 90s.
Yep.
And they are now being used as takes and also laughing in Gary Payton's face.
Yeah.
That was
retroactively was a take.
And it was a hearty laugh.
How mean he was to Jerry Krause when nobody else was laughing, but he was like cracking up about calling him short.
Well, and like the whole thing's a take about like, you know, Jerry Krause has been dead for 3 years and then he doesn't feel any remorse.
No,
like, at all. He's like, he's not starting every sentence with like, you know, I understand he's dead.
Or he was a good guy or something.
Yeah. Right. No, it's always just laying into Jerry Krause. So Michael Jordan, you are my number one take for another spring.
My number three is Cinnamon Prince for the system quarterback one, our user on Reddit.
Take. Yep.
Angelo's number two, and Miss Fishscale is number one.
Wow, Miss Fishscale. We're going to have to follow her now.
Yes.
We got to have the
see what else she has.
Yep.
All right, it's time for our take roundtable. We haven't done this in a long time.
I'll go first. Joe always goes last, of course. First is my non-sports take. We are obviously in a dire situation in the country, but unfortunately, because of the COVID-19 crisis, there is another crisis going on that nobody's addressing, and it has to do with plumbing. We are at a crisis level situation with the way that pipes cannot handle wipes. I think we all know.
Sounds like a slogan.
Yeah. We all know that anyone who isn't a Neanderthal, who isn't disgusting, wants to use wipes on the rear end rather than toilet paper. I always say, if you got shit on your hand, you wouldn't just wipe it off with dry paper, would you? No, of course not. You need wipes. Look, I can't install bidets in public restrooms. I can't, we need pipes that can handle wipes. And most of them, even the ones that say they break down and they're safe to flushable, they're not. They don't break up. Any plumber will tell you, if you do it, you're going to get clogs in your septic system or in the pipes. And we need to evolve as a society. We need to start making the pipes bigger, or we need to invent a wipe that does break down immediately.
I don't know. Is it a take or a passionate plea?
It's a plea.
Yeah, it's my campaign.
Well, who's getting angry at that? Like, you know what? I like my sandpaper.
I don't know. I know we need to do something about it. And then my sports take. Unfortunately, Jack's heard this one, but when we talk about sports coming back, the number one thing that everybody talks about being missing is fans. What's it going to be like without fan noise? What's it going to be like without a home court advantage or a away court? When the much bigger problem for all of us that we're going to miss much more, and I hate to say it, is the media. The media is not going to be there. They're not going to be in the locker room. They're not going to be able to cozy up to players or coaches. They're not going to be able to talk afterwards. They're going to be separate from it. And all this news, all these leaks that normally get fed to us are not going to be there. The takes during the game, we're all going to be on the same level. We need people there to ask questions. We need people at the press conferences to ask one more that will piss off an athlete or get him to say something that we can run with. I think I regret to say it because can't stand how much they whine on Twitter just about literally everything. But I think we're going to miss the media more than we're going to miss fans.
Would have been.
That's my take.
A great ending if you didn't start choking up at the end thinking about Howard at press conferences. All right. My non-sports take is that, rip it all you want. Do whatever. Call it gross. It's not gross. Picking your nose is more efficient. And it's just better.
You're not supposed to be doing that during this time.
In this time of the number two directive, number one, wash your hands. Number two, don't touch your face.
Especially your nose. You could be inserting the virus into your body voluntarily.
And perhaps taking out the virus for somebody else. This is literally the worst take you've ever had.
Well, we all know if Jack gets sick, it's because he picked his nose.
What's amazing is he had no idea going into this. What a terrible time for this take it was. It's literally the worst take we've ever had.
Of all the times to pick your nose, this is the one time you have to really try not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm really grinding that one out.
Yeah.
I don't disagree with you. It's just not the time.
It's just better, I'm fed all this bullshit about blowing your nose. It doesn't do anything. You need to loosen it up first.
Not now.
There's a time and a place to pick your nose. And this is not it.
There's never been a worse time and place in history to pick your nose. Meanwhile, this fucking moron's picking his nose all the time. He doesn't even know. He doesn't know that his nose is part of his face. He's like, oh, they say don't touch your face. My nose is not my face. It's my nose.
It's inside. It's different.
You dummy.
All right.
Okay.
My sports thing is that I realized this the other day. We've been doing a lot of, recapping the championships, talking about 17 Eagles, talking about the 08 Phillies and all that stuff. And it made me realize that I actually like the separation between championships. I'm not jealous of Boston because you can't look back on all these Boston teams and be like, oh, remember that run? Because it waters it down. I like the specialness that comes with the separation between championships.
So you don't want to be happy every day. You want to be abused so that happiness every few years makes you feel better.
Correct. I'll take a championship every 8 years and be happy.
I'll tell you, it's probably better for takes,
Yeah. And you can be miserable for a little bit. It's not all sunshine and rainbows.
By the way, I just got a report. This comes from Killikow. It's pertains to this podcast.
Yeah.
Nephew Kyle has deleted his SoundCloud.
No.
Yes.
That's very
sad. What is the world going
to
do?
I hope somebody has the rap song saved. If somebody has the rap song saved, can you send it to one of us?
And we'll use it on the next
episode.
Yeah,
we'll use it. Yep.
All right. My non-sports thing. I'm not going to say the name of the store, but just there's a grocery store out there that has separate lines when you want to purchase alcohol, so wine or beer.
Right. Yep.
And there's only two of those lines. And yep. In a typical day, that's fine. But right now, during a pandemic, people are buying lots of food. They're going shop maybe once every 10 days or 2 weeks. So you have to wait a long time when you get on the line to actually pay. You know, they don't have to only have two lines for wine or beer. Any one of them can ring it up.
Like in the... You mean like in the
they shouldn't be designated
line?
Just for those?
Now, not now. Like, open up everyone to allow me, if I have beer, to go to you instead of waiting on a line that's like 30 people deep because everyone's there for alcohol.
Do you think
alcohol.
They have to be certified ID checkers or something?
How hard is it to look someone's ID?
They have to have, like, those places that can only do the ID stuff.
You tell me they can't fix this?
They should be able to.
They should be.
I mean, in these uncertain times...
This isn't that hard.
I just like that you focus. I like that you're focused on the important things.
Yeah.
Yes, I went to the store. I want a beer, and I don't wait forever.
He keeps his fingers out of his nose. You monster.
All right. My sports take this week is that Howie Roseman has made his eventual choice crystal clear. He didn't do much to help Carson Wentz on offense.
Nah, come on.
He's letting Andre Dillard play left tackle, even though they don't think he could play. If Carson Wentz overcomes this,
he does these for you.
If Carson Wentz overcomes it, the choice is clear. He's the guy. And if he doesn't, the choice is clear. He's got to move on to Jalen Hurts. He set it up to where Carson Wentz will show everyone how good he actually is.
You happy with yourself?
I'm very happy.
Listen, I don't know.
The choice will be easy. This won't be hard when the decision comes.
But then
comes.
What's going to happen when Jalen Hurts gets out there and he's playing behind dog shit left tackle?
But he can run.
All right. We're not going to have any real sports conversation.
215-592.
All right, we will either see you in a week or 3 months. Who knows? Keep your hands out of your nose.